Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Insights and Published Magazine and Broadcast, where visionaries and those on the rise come together to create immediate impact. And I'm really, really thrilled today because we have with us Andrea Hyland. Andrea is coach, author, minister of spiritual peacemaking, speaker, conscious parent, grief transformation guide with counseling and coaching support, and radio host and social media coach. If you are in transition or looking for support from someone who can help you find your own answers, then you will love what Andrea is about to share with us today. After the death of her husband in 2005, Andrea began to explore the deeper place inside of herself. She learned to let go of some of the dreams that had died with her husband and be open to new ideas, dreams, and passion. Her experience with the deaths of her brother, son, husband, friends, and grandparents helped her to learn how to embrace grief and find the gifts within. She learned that all of the other losses in life, which are part of the grieving process as well. Andrea guides people to identify feelings, heal, and release, and discover the joy on the other side. Andrea has hosted over 44 grief transformational shows and has been involved in numerous writing projects to really engage those who are going through transition. So, Andrea, thank you so much for being with us today. It's just a thrill to have you here.
Vicki, it is such a pleasure to be here, and I'm so excited to have this conversation with you and expand the possibilities of sharing with others and what we learn in these conversations. So thank you.
Andrea, first I wanted to start off by saying I have such a special place in my own heart and my own life for the tremendous contribution you're giving to the world and the work that you're doing in this arena, because I've lost my entire family and I know what it means to go through it, and I also know what it means to have someone there to really help guide you in that process and look at it from a different perspective. So tell me a little bit to start how you found this as your life purpose and your calling.
You know, like anything, I think that when you really look back at the beginning of your life, you can begin to see clues as to what you're here to do. And my journey really began at the age of 4 years old when my brother died from SIDS. And he was 2 months old, and it began a journey of grief. No one really talked about grief at that time. And when I talked to my mother about it years later, when I had my own two little children, and I said to her, how did you cope with the death of a child? Because I was four and my sister was two, and here this little baby died, and she still had to keep going every day, get up and take care of us. And when I asked her, she said, what was there to talk about? He was dead, he was gone, that was it. And when I looked at her and just thought, what? What do you mean he was dead, he was gone, that was it? What I saw was the pain in her eyes. And I saw how all that she could do was, there was no place to really grieve. There was no support for her anywhere. She had to get up every day and live her life. And so she never had the opportunity to really grieve at that time. Now, years later, I had my third child who was born with a congenital heart defect. And my parents sat across the bed of my son, who was in the hospital with his second open heart surgery. And I saw my parents talk about the loss of their son for the first time. And it was 35 years later. And so the power of those moments, the power of my own loss, and then my son having this congenital heart defect, which ultimately he died at 19 months from a fourth stage neuroblastoma cancer, those two events started to link something together for me, this journey of grieving and loss. And it wasn't until my husband died 8 years later that it rocked my world so much that I had to dive into it even deeper. And that really became a deep calling for me to explore the journey of grief, to feel my own feelings, and to have conversations with other people about it.
That is so, so powerful. So, you know, from the conversations and all of the help you've been and the work you've done with those going through this, as well as your own experience, what do you think is critical in making transition easier?
Well, first of all, I would say to realize that it is going to take time, that you cannot power through it. I thought that I could power through it. With the death of my son, at the one-year mark, I decided to just dive into the grieving for 30 days and really feel all, like 24/7, the loss of him, and grieve and grieve and grieve, which ultimately led me to a serious life-threatening illness where my immune system started to attack my muscles, and that was a two-year journey of healing. So what I learned is give yourself time. Realize that the feelings are there, and sometimes you can put them aside for a little bit. You know, sometimes we do need to pull ourselves together and take care of our children or do our work in the world. But to know that they're there and they deserve the time to feel, and that it is in the feeling that the healing begins. So the other thing I want to say is I have a friend whose husband died a year ago, and she was sharing with me the other day that she feels more sadness right now. And I said, I really don't think the first year is the hardest with grieving. I think it's the second and third year, and that it's that there are these incremental times where the feelings come up, and it might be 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later. That when you have the feeling, to create some space to really feel and honor them. And I want to just say one other thing about that, Vicki. When we have joyful memories in our lives, and one for me was a trip to Hawaii, sitting in a restaurant, overlooking this beautiful rainforest, eating Belgian waffles with hot coconut syrup. And that happened 25 years ago. And just talking with you, I could just feel my mouth watering, my senses awakening about what a wonderful day that was. We don't lose the ability to remember those joyful memories. We also do not lose the feelings of loss for a loved one, no matter how long it's been. It's not as powerful and palpable on the day-to-day experience, but sometimes it is. There are those moments, and that when we can allow ourselves to really stay open to all the feelings, that when the loss comes, we actually expand the ability in our heart to open to more joy, more love, more happiness. So by closing off the I don't want to feel the pain, we actually close off the ability to feel joy and love. So stay open to all the feelings and get support. Get support from either friends, family, support groups, or professionals to really allow yourself to feel and heal everything.
That is so powerful and so important. So tell me, Andrea, how did writing come about to be a really large aspect of the journey that you're on, both for your own healing and help others?
Well, I know that for myself, I've always been a journal writer. I never really shared my writing with anyone, but journaling was a way for me to express. And I do encourage people can really look into, if it's not writing, what other creative way can you express? Maybe through different art or everything. But for me, it was writing. And the other thing that my journey with writing was that as part of the exploration of really getting in touch with what I was feeling and finding a way to express it to other people, I found that when you take what's in your head and in your heart and you work on the computer or in a journal to really express what it is, there's a greater understanding that comes. There's a healing that comes through the writing when you can really see the journey with it, when you can really see the patterns in what you're feeling, when you can look at the words on the paper. There's a power of transformation that happens, is what I found. Just finding the words to put words to your feelings, you know, to find the, I'm trying to think of another way to say that, is I'm looking for the words to say how to put the words on paper. But it's like you feel something, and then when you can attach words to them, it just brings forth another power of feeling.
And you have done that in so many wonderful ways. Can you share a little bit about what this journaling, which you were doing for your own healing, led you to from the standpoint of what you've accomplished with your writing?
Well, the first thing that I did was I mentored a group of 44 women who had all attended Evolutionary Women Retreat in 2008. And I wrote my first story, like a 1,500-word story, and put it in the book. And the power of that began to help me see how you could just learn so much by taking an experience and putting it into words on paper. And that led me to write 70 articles in a two-month period in 2010 to really try to put words to what was it that I did with healing? How did I heal? So I wrote about healing with laughter, healing with journaling, healing with dancing. I just looked at every element I had ever used with grief transformation in my own life, and I put it into words, and I began to really deepen my connection to that, so that now whenever I have a feeling of grief, I have my repertoire of tools that I can use. And so it gave me this really visible pathway for grieving. And those articles led me to this deep desire to help other people with grieving. So I published the articles online, and then I hosted 44 radio shows in 45 days over the holidays in 2010. I interviewed 27 guests, and then 17 of the shows I did myself, just taking the information from the articles and really putting it into words out into the airwaves. You know, so many times we look at the holidays as being these happy, joyful times, but they're also very sad times. For the feelings of a loss of a loved one who's not there, with the special memories around the Thanksgiving table or Christmas table or all. So that actually led me to create the organization Heal My Voice and to create environments for women to come together in a nine-month program to tap into a story that wants to emerge from them right now, and to put that story onto paper, to learn from it, to use it as a tool, and to feel deeper feelings that will lead them to a deeper purpose in their lives.
Well, that was really an enormous project that this evolved into. So what did you personally learn from this on any or all levels?
Oh, that's such a big question. What have I learned? Okay, so here are some of the things I've learned about myself through that. I've learned that I'm really here to inspire people to live a conscious life, to listen to their heart, to feel everything, and to see life as a rich experience, to see it as an adventure of learning through our individual and collective stories. So I learned that, so in that it was learning more about my purpose. I learned that I'm a communicator, and I'm here to connect people with their inner guidance, with each other, and to encourage them to express themselves. I mean, I love diversity, and I've always explored different cultures, religions, lifestyles, challenges and choices with the desire to really understand the unique life path we each walk. And I really feel that I'm here to see people and to feel what they're feeling, to be curious to their unique expression. So in my own journey about myself, I learned that I'm driven by this desire to help people see who they really are and to shine a light on their essence, creating environments for them to embrace all of who they are with harm to none. I learned that I am capable of feeling so much more than I ever thought was possible. And with the willingness to feel the pain of a broken heart, I'm also feeling so much more joy and happiness in my life. And I'm the person that you'll see walking down the street singing because I'm in joy. And I just want to do it and be alive, you know, feel the aliveness. So in feeling the grief and feeling the loss, I feel more alive than I've ever felt. So those are a few of the things.
Well, that is so beautiful. And so, Andrea, tell me, has this spurred on some ongoing projects for you?
It really has. The Heal My Voice project, there are a variety of things that I do now. I work with groups of women in a nine-month process where we start with deeper listening within and deeper listening in a group of women. I'm really here to support women in writing a story that wants to emerge from them and also supporting women in healing their relationships with each other. So I do leadership programs in that way. I also am really inspired to work with different populations of women, women who have had the experience of prison, being in prison, women who have gone through drug rehabilitation, and there are quite a few projects. Heal My Voice is a charitable organization. We're in the process of getting the 501c3 paperwork completed, that process completed, so that we can reach out to women in all walks of life, all socioeconomic groups. So I have a letter writing circle right now where in several prisons in Arkansas, women who are in prison are matched with a woman in the free world so that they can share their wisdom together. One of the things that I've learned through my own process of writing is how we all have wisdom inside of us. We're born with it. And it's the experiences that we've had in life that begin to shut down that ability to connect with our own intuition and our own wisdom. You know, when you think about an experience that you may have had with a 3 or 4-year-old child, and they say the most profound, enlightening thing, and we say, oh my gosh, listen to that wisdom, listen to the words that came out of the child's mouth. Well, we're all born with that, and we still have that within us. It's just that sometimes life can be discouraging. So those are the main projects that are going on right now. So the letter writing circle, and we are beginning a letter, a story writing process with some women who have already been in prison and are out in the world now to help them heal shame and loss and trauma.
Wow, that is so, so powerful. So I was wondering, for those that are struggling with using the fantastic tool of writing and getting your story out, what are some of the most important tips about really making writing fulfilling and not so scary?
So start small. Start with some basic ideas. And the first place I would suggest that everyone start is to create some space to listen. There is a story. There's a story that would really serve you to heal something in your life, and it's inside of you waiting to come out. And so one of the ways to start with deep listening is it can be going for walks in nature. It can be sitting in silence with a piece of paper and a pen in your hand without pressuring yourself, but just to open to the words that are in there. Maybe that you sit in silent meditation. Maybe that you go jogging or swimming, something that moves your body, going for a walk. Creating the space for the story to appear. The first story, actually, that I wrote was about my first relationship, my first marriage, where my marriage was falling apart. And the thing that spurred me on to write the story was I started to remember a song Mr. Rogers would sing when I would watch television with my little daughter during this really painful time in my life. So there may be a clue that comes along. It could be a song. It could be a memory. It could be a craving for a food. You know, as crazy as that sounds, it may be that you remember something like root beer fizzies from your childhood. And just start to explore, why would you be thinking about root beer fizzies right now? And see if that memory, that palpable experience begins to lead you to a memory. You know, and it could be a memory, for instance, in your childhood where you're playing in the backyard with a group of friends. And see this as you have this opportunity to discover something about yourself, something about your journey. You could see yourself as a detective in your life and to feel the sense of adventure, of finding what this story could lead you to learn about yourself. Because I'll tell you, it will bring this richness to your life in the discovery process of it. So the first two steps that I always recommend is this place of listening and creating the space, and then to see it as something that you're going to discover. And whatever you're discovering, to begin to write from that place. So those are some of the ways that I get started. But you can see it is such an adventure to learn something about yourself in this way. And that's where the writing will lead you, to self-discovery.
And really that would inspire the actual physical aspect of doing the writing, it sounds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the interesting thing, Vicki, about writing is that my experience is that most people have not allowed themselves the time to really go on a self-discovery process. Well, and self-discovery means discovering something about yourself. That this, you know, we might hear about self-love and how important it is to take care of ourselves. But writing your story, writing something about yourself, and letting go of whether or not the grammar is correct, the words that it's all going to come together in a perfect way. I mean, many times the first couple of lines of a story are some of the last words that you write. So to just start writing anywhere, just let yourself go with that. But this is such an opportunity to really get to know yourself. You're the hero of your life story. You know, there isn't some hero out there. You're the hero of your life story. And so to take the time to listen and write something that your heart is longing to put on the paper, it's a beautiful process. And I really encourage everyone to take that time for themselves.
That's so inspirational. So tell me, Andre, what inspires you?
What inspires me is life. I have just being aware of everything, looking with eyes of wonder every day. I get a lot of my inspiration from billboards, bumper stickers, words that just appear as I'm walking down the street and I see a word that pops out. The people inspire me. I love to just really have conversations and listen and see what emerges in a conversation, what's important to people. I really am so inspired by life that I'm, it's like, if you can walk through life as if it's the first time every day that you're seeing the things that you're seeing, waking up with this excitement of what is life going to bring to me today. That's really how I walk through my day, every day.
What a beautiful way to walk through your day. So tell me, you know, I know you've already been an inspiration to so many, but if we're talking about more of a global view and what you are sharing and contributing out there in the world, what would you like to see this ultimately be in the way of inspiration to others, the work, the great work you're doing?
What my greatest desire is that this will awaken something in someone else. That when we heal our stories together, and I say that healing our stories together, that when each of us puts our words out into the world, whether it's through writing stories or having conversations, we begin to have more understanding, compassion, acceptance with love for ourselves and for one another. You know, I've started with women and girls, but my bigger vision includes men and communities of all. And I believe that when we use our personal journey and we're able to see the light and dark, that it changes the way that we look at each other, and it also changes the what are the bigger words here for this? Okay, so I want to approach it from just a little bit of a different way here. As we all look into the world right now, there are a lot of things that are in breakdown. There are educational systems, financial organizations, governments, families, and that when we can heal a story in our lives, and we can reclaim our own personal power, there are new ideas that emerge from us. We already have the ideas inside of us, but they're covered up by the grief and loss and trauma that we've experienced in our lives. And right now, more than any time in the planet, it's time for us to get new perspectives, to come up with simple solutions in our lives for the way that we live day to day, the way that we support ourselves financially, the way that we communicate with each other, the way that we parent, the way that we live in community together. And so my greatest vision for the world is that we each take responsibility for healing our stories, and then we connect with each other in new ways, that we're vulnerable, we're honest, we have courage, and that we share our paths with each other, respecting each other, and really seeing each other. What I found in working with women is that when I really hear their story and the path that they have walked, I see them in a new light, and I also see the power of who they are. My heart grows for them. The compassion grows stronger. And then to see that we're all here to have this adventure of learning together. And that's a little bit of my global vision.
Wow.
Continues to evolve and emerge with each project and with each connection with each person.
Wow, that is, again, so very powerful. So with that in mind, do you have something that you could share with us, like a tip or exercise or something to get us moving down that path, put us into action for those of us that are reading or listening?
So the first part of that, you were saying like a tip or I didn't hear
the... Yeah, a tip or maybe a little exercise or something you either share with the women that you work with or that you use yourself to get yourself into this place of such great appreciation for life, you know, and taking you out of the grief place and into the appreciation place on a daily basis. Since you live there, what do you do to stay?
Absolutely. The first thing that I suggest is that in the beginning of your day, it could be before you get out of bed, or it could be when you're in the shower, or even if you feel like you wake up and you just start your day and it's rush, rush, rush. There's going to be some moment where you can find a moment of stillness. And really, I'll even say this with some humor. It may be that you've been rush, 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 but you sit down to go to the bathroom. Well, there's a moment of stillness for you. So the exercise that I would say is to take a moment where you close your eyes and take a breath and put your hand on your heart. And in that moment of stillness, to let everything go. And one of the ways that I do that to really bring myself into the present moment is imagine that there's a magnet in the middle of your head, and you're going to pull all the parts of yourself into the present. So anything that you were just doing, running around, or anything that you think you need to be doing next, just bring everything from the past, present, and future into this present moment. And so right now, if you can just practice it with me for a moment, this magnet is bringing all of you into this moment, and then you have your hand over your heart, and for just a moment here, feel the appreciation of you. Feel the appreciation for the journey that you have been walking in this life. Feel the appreciation for your presence on the planet. In this society of rush, 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 and all the things that we do to try to find the value of who we are, the truth is that you and the vibration you carry of who you are, your deep essence, this is the most important task for you on the planet, is to be and to be who you are. And so, you know, sometimes I can sit in this place for 5 or 10 minutes, and as you cultivate this space within yourself, of this deep appreciation for you, just you being here is enough. And when you can start from that place and then look at the miracle of being in the world and just start to open your eyes with a fresh look around you of your environment, of the people who pass you on the street and what you take into your day-to-day. You know, this is one of those spaces where I do this exercise throughout my day. And it might be that I might be cooking. And I just take a moment, I take 30 seconds to just close my eyes, put my hand on my heart, and connect with the brilliance of who I am. And that's the truth for all of us. You know, when you think about how we all came into the world with such beautiful innocence, we're still that person. We're still that newborn. And the essence of who we are is right beside of us.
Well,
that's how I start my day, and that's a way that I check in with myself throughout my day.
What a lovely way to really get in touch and become present time. So beautiful. Andrea, you've shared so many wonderful things with us today. I'm sure that many will want to connect with you. Is there a place on the web where they can do that to tap into more of your wisdom?
If you go to healmyvoice.org, there's an email address that's there, and there's a way to sign up to connect, and you can sign up for the mailing list, but you can also sign up for when you do that, there's a place where you can leave a comment for me or send me a little note there. I would love to connect with people. And although primarily my work right now is with women, I am beginning to have more partnership with men, and there are ideas bubbling for the future. So I do work with men individually right now in healing their voices, in coaching. So I don't want to discourage the men from contacting me because I have worked with men, but my primary audience right now is women.
Oh, so beautiful. Thank you so much. And thanks so much for the generosity of sharing that really powerful tip and exercise with us. Could you give your website one more time, Andrea, just to make sure everyone got it?
Sure. It's Heal, H-E-A-L, my, M-Y, voice, V-O-I-C-E .org.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. And for those of you that are interested in learning more about Expert Insights Publishing, our magazines, books, and broadcasts and communities, you can reach us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And thank you all for being here, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.